Welcome back, everybody, to a fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your host, Sean. Across the way, Danny, our other host. How are you, man?
I don't know, man. I already feel off, man. You've already lied to our listening audience.
About what?
About it being a fun-filled. About it being fun-filled.
That's probably what, listening to me talk about Destiny isn't fun-filled.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say yes. I'm already out. I'm already checked out, and we haven't even gotten there yet. It's my show, so.
Oh boy, it's gonna be a rough one. Get your seatbelts on. It's gonna be a bit bumpy.
Exactly. So, oh man, I'm drinking a mystery beer, Sean.
Mystery? Is it full of, you know, salty goodness from multiple dunks?
No, it's like the Dum Dums, where it's like the end of the run, and they don't want to clean the machine, so they just add the new flavor and then wrap a fancy label on it that says it's a mystery flavor. And kids think kids think they get a special flavor, and so they just get the garbage at the end of the line.
Is that like the white Airheads?
Yes, the same thing with the Airheads. When they're like, all right, we've already made enough cherries, it's time to make apple. Throw the apple in. And then as soon as the apple's fully run through, that's just the mystery flavor. It's half cherry, half apple.
Oh boy. Cherry apple sounds pretty good, though.
That's why I pick those flavors.
Sometimes you get something good, sometimes meh.
Meh, like watermelon and anything else. Because, you know, watermelon's kind of gross. But no, I went to a local bottle shop that I always go to, La Bodega.
Oh boy.
And was given a bottle of beer.
They're like, we can't sell this, just take this, get rid of it, please. Like, nobody wants it.
Well, it's not so much that nobody wants it, it's that they couldn't sell it. It was from Belching Beaver.
Yep.
And it had no label on it.
Fair enough.
And so she said it's a 50-50, it's either going to be the peanut butter or the horchata.
Danny, take a big sip and tell us, does it taste like peanut butter or horchata?
It's actually the mystery flavor, it's peanut butter. No,
it's both. It's both. Oh boy!
You got peanut butter in my cinnamon. You got cinnamon in my peanut butter. Which again, kind of sounds like a good flavor.
True.
But this time it is actually the horchata.
Oh, nice! How is the horchata?
It's actually pretty good. It's not. It's almost like the horchata part of it is sweet, but then the stout is like bitter, so it kind of counterbalances each other.
It's a stout, you said?
Yes.
Okay. That made sense. I don't know.
Yes.
Who has a horchata IPA? I don't know about
this. I'm sure, you know, somebody made a Lucky Charms IPA, so anything's possible.
I thought, didn't Ernest do Lucky Charms and like brown ale or something? I don't think it was IPA.
No, it wasn't IPA, but it was a darker beer, yes. You know, like, we're starting to get to the Jurassic Park point of craft beer industry.
Where we start making shit up.
No, it's more a thing of, you know, just because the science is there, you know, we didn't never ask, you know, should we be doing it? We only asked, can we do it?
That's a fair point. Oh, man. I am also having a beer, Danny. I'm having a mango IPA from Unveiled Brewing Company.
Nice.
I could have hoped for something better, I guess.
Okay.
Doesn't taste like mango very much.
No. Well, and that's the problem with, what's it called, working with the fruits.
Yeah. I think there's some mango taste, but I just don't think maybe it's just the IPA taste just doesn't taste very good. It's just kind of like, meh. I like the labeling.
Why not?
The labeling looks cool.
Fancy labeling?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little disappointed. No, not a huge fan.
No, but that's the problem when you work with, like, fruit. I mean, beer's already kind of a crapshoot in the brewing process. But then you add fruit and more sugars artificially.
Yes, you do.
So, there's a brewery in Seattle, Sean.
Seattle, Washington. We've been there before.
Yes. Floodland Brewing is the brewery. They've kind of taken a very harsh stance on the whole people standing in line to buy beers to resell.
I thought we were going to get into the whole topic about flights again.
No.
Not this time.
I mean, not this time. And so basically, like, a lot of the breweries have a policy where you can get one beer per person, right?
Yep.
But then the joke is that people will, you know, go pay homeless people or bring their grandma along or something.
Yep.
To get multiple of the same beer.
That sounds about right.
So he decided to do a policy of one beer per household.
Interesting.
So I guess you could bring your grandma, your gram-gram, as long as you don't live with her.
Check our addresses. They're different on our license.
Right. And so they talked about, well, what if, like, you know, you're a couple and you both like beer and you both want one? And the guy replied, well, if you're fucking each other, you can share the beer.
He's not wrong. But he might be an asshole. But he's not wrong.
And so people came out and it's like, wait, just because a chick is fucking a dude doesn't mean she can't have her own beer. And then people are like, yeah, but just, you know, what if the chick likes the beer and the dude is fucking, you know, she's fucking the dude? Like, why does it have to be that, you know, the men are the ones trying to get the beer? Like, why are you trying to make his comment sexist? Like, he's already an asshole enough. You don't need to help him by trying to make him sexist, too.
He doesn't care if it's two vaginas or two cocks or one of each. You're only getting one fucking beer here. All right?
Yeah. If you've touched naughty parts, if you've bumped uglies...
He doesn't care about your sword fighting skills. He doesn't care about your clam slamming. One beer per household.
Yes. Exactly. No sausage fights. He doesn't care if you're a Megasaur ass or a Lickalotopus.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only person getting away is that scumbag who didn't change his driver's license from his mom's house, but he lives in grandma's basement and he takes grandma. So that way his license is different. Then he's the one that's getting away with shit.
Or if you've recently moved into a new place and you haven't changed your driver's license, and so you have two different people with two different addresses, but they really live together.
True. You gotta be sneaky. Gotta be on the sly.
But then he also took it one step further, and he found there's the beer trade communities on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah.
And he found somebody trying to trade or sell one of his beers.
Oh, shit. They got banned.
Well, not just that, but he also, like, took the link and put it on the brewery's Facebook page and, like, posted it with the guy's name and everything.
Yep.
So he, like didn't completely dox him, but he basically set him up to be doxed.
Yep. He's like, look at this asshole. He's banned. Everybody fuck with him.
Yes.
Ruin his internet.
Yes, all the beer people fuck with him. Oh, man. But I guess, you know, he always has options. There's these kids in Georgia that they've discovered at the Trader Joe's across the street from their high school.
Mm-hmm.
That they are the fancy vanilla extract there that sells for $9 for a tiny little bottle. Contains 35% alcohol.
You know, you just have to admire the resourcefulness of kids. That's all I'm gonna say.
Right.
They just get smarter and smarter. They just find new loopholes. That's all it is.
Right. Like, reading the article, and it was like, and they don't even have, it's like, they don't even have to go to a liquor store. They can just go to a Trader Joe's, and then, like, the very last line, it's like, we're not saying anything bad about Trader Joe's. We're just saying that, you know, making parents aware. But, like, the whole, like, time, it almost seems like a hit piece against Trader Joe's for daring to sell, like, real vanilla extract, not the fake shit.
How dare them fucking little markets that like to cater to vegans and these health food people give alcohol to little kids. Fuck them.
Right. So I guess what people are doing is, like, they go to the Trader Joe's, buy the vanilla extract, then go to Starbucks and buy a coffee and just pour, like, a shot's worth of vanilla extract in their coffee.
That just sounds like it would taste terrible, though.
Well, when you're in high school, doesn't all alcohol pretty much mostly taste terrible?
True.
The point isn't how it tastes.
I mean, it's not like prison wine tastes fucking good, but, you know, they're still drinking it up like it's the fanciest shit in the world, right?
Exactly. When I was living at home still, my mom wanted to make a cake, and one of the ingredients in it was creme de menthe, a liqueur, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we never had it, so we opened it up and we kind of tasted it, and it tasted like scope. Green scope, right? Like exactly that, like off, like weird pepperminty, but not really peppermint flavor.
Yeah.
And so I went and I grabbed, we had a bottle of scope, and I went and grabbed it, and the creme de menthe actually had less alcohol than the scope did.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, why? We could have saved money, just use the scope.
Let's just drink this. It'll be better.
Yes, yeah, so we'll have... Not only will we be drunk, we'll have minty fresh breath. Have you been drinking? No, I just am really ambitious with my dental care.
Have you seen the cost of dental insurance? It's fucking ridiculous. I'm just trying to be proactive here.
Yes. Just carrying around a bottle of scope in a brown paper bag.
Oh, man.
So, you went on a little field trip.
I did some homework, Danny. Aren't you proud of me?
Very, Sean. Very.
Once every couple weeks, you actually don't have to work that hard on an episode on trying to get it organized.
It's kind of like my sex life.
Moving on to the next exhibit. Pavlov's is a brewing company, is in Temperance, Michigan, right across the border. For those that don't know, I live literally right against the Michigan border, so I can literally drive to here in about 5 minutes. They took over a old bank that they converted into a brewery. So they finally had their grand opening about 2 weeks ago. So this is a very, very new brewery, Danny. I was able to get inside. Not too busy. They had a food truck outside. Didn't visit the food truck because we already ate. Because we didn't realize there was going to be a food truck. But went inside and grabbed a couple pints and sat down. It seems like they have the ability to get up to 16 taps going, but they only had about 9 on the board, 9 or 10. So,
okay.
So I had the pale ale and the double IPA, and the lady had the regular IPA and red ale. I believe it was the red ale. And we had another beer, but I can't remember what it was. Anyways, the beer had some pretty good taste. One thing to note, though, Danny, is all the beer was, like, you know, just straight beer. So it was a straight pale ale, straight double IPA, IPA. You know, I think that's one of the... I don't know if it's just one of the things that, you know, I'm looking for in breweries to try new things or get creative with their beer. But that was kind of, like, the one disappointing thing I would have to say about them, is every beer was just, like, straight beer. Is that, like, unreasonable to expect, like, they're going to have, like, something kind of out there? Like,
you know, when Thompson's reopened out here, they had all their beers was basically the same thing, and it was, like, you know, just straight, like, black IPA, IPA, you know, Scottish ale. But sometimes it's just kind of nice to go back to the basics, you know? Like, you kind of... You can only have so many horchata or peanut butter stouts or, you know, Fruit Loops, Lucky Charms, whatever. You know, so many adjuncts added. Sometimes you just want to kind of get a reminder of what the base layer tastes like in case you forgot.
That's true, but I mean, I felt like they had 9 beers on tap that they could have had something. I'm not saying, like, they had to have, like, this crazier range of beer, like Left Brain or something like that, but... Or, I'm just saying, though, for the most part, like, it would have been nice to see a little bit of creativity in the beer. I mean, because all their beer was pretty good. I mean, I don't think anything jumped off the page as being like, oh, this is, like, you know, a top IPA or a top pale ale or anything like that. They were just very solid. They were all just pretty solid. Like, there wasn't any, it wasn't like I was going to be, like, craving to go back to go try, have this beer. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I understand, but at the same time, like, there's been a few breweries where I've gone to, and you go in there and you try their beers, and it's like, okay, I mean, it's all right. It's nothing special. Mm-hmm. And then you go back a little bit later, and just the time, you know, mm-hmm. that they've had to, like, more experience, and, like, even, you know, and as they start brewing more beers, maybe they just want to get the base beers out.
Yeah.
And maybe they have beer sitting in the back that are brewing with more adjunct flavors, like the vanillas and the barrel age and whatever, the mango. Maybe those are being brewed, but maybe right now they just want to kind of start getting their beer out to the general public.
Yeah, that's probably a fair statement. The inside was really nice. There was a lot of decent seating going on. I don't think they'll... This place will be just like Ernest, where they'll have to have food trucks. There's no room to do any kind of cooking. We were at a table on the side where all the brewing happens, so I was able to kind of take a peek, like lean my head over and look, and they got quite a bit of fancy tanks. Like, they definitely have more ability to serve beer a lot more than even like Black Frog. So, I mean, they definitely, like, don't have, like, little fermenters. They definitely went out and acquired a lot of stuff, so that way they'll have a lot of beer on tap consistently. So that part was pretty cool to see as well. Because I know for sure, like, Southern Michigan...
Cool. I mean, that's one thing that's, like, the danger of opening a new brewery is, you know, if you start too small, then you're going to run out of... space pretty quick, but if you start too big, you run the danger of not ever meeting your quota and running out of money.
Yeah. I guess the only nice thing is you could always just not brew and have kegs ready as you're selling through. I guess that would be the only nice part I could imagine.
Right, because, you know, you see a lot of the breweries where they'll start, and as they're getting bigger, they'll post on their social medias adding new fermenters or new different tanks and stuff mm-hmm. to upgrade their facilities.
Yeah, because I think when a new brewery opens up, especially in an area where there is no brewery close, like, this is like a pretty big deal, like, in this North Toledo, you know, South Michigan area, there's, like, it's a solid 15-minute drive, 20-minute drive to the nearest brewery. So, those little breweries are just fun to have in your back pocket and be able to go. Like, if you want to go get a beer and have a relaxing time, like, you know, microbrews tend to be, like, a really good hot spot. So, I feel like they don't really have, like, any competition on where they opened up, you know. Yeah, there's a bottle shop, like, a minute walk away, but outside of that, there's not, like, any power restaurants or anything to, like, take business away. So I think it was a really smart location as well.
Right, and I mean, if there's, like, you know, I'm sure there might not be a lot of houses, but if there's, you know, residential relatively close by, then that's even better, because, like you said, it's a 5-minute drive instead of a 20-minute drive. It cuts down on, people can either walk or, maybe even take the Ubers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's definitely in a pretty... It's close to a lot of housing, so, I mean, it was... I don't think you could have picked a better location, to be honest.
That's good. I hope, you know, I'm always happy. I mean, I know there's a ton of breweries coming in, but it's always, if there's ones that... they're not obviously assholes, unlike some other breweries, it's nice to see them succeed.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, man. Speaking of assholes and succeeding,
oh,
Sean.
Boy. What?
You know, it's this guy. He decided apparently being a billionaire diamond trader wasn't enough.
Yes.
At the age of 65. So he decided he was going to get a penis enhancement surgery.
Oh.
In Paris, France.
Hmm. Is that what that says? I can't. I was like looking at your handwriting. I was like, I wonder what PEMS enhancement is.
Nope. Penis enhancement.
The Pen 15 Club.
So yes, Pen 15 Club. Apparently, he's not in the Pen 15 Club. He's only in the Pen 3 Club.
Wah.
But yeah, apparently, like as part of the surgery operation or whatever procedure, they had to inject something into his penis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so they were injecting fat into his penis. Basically, he was getting a boob job or butt lift or whatever, but in his penis.
Gotcha.
And so they injected it directly into one of his blood vessels, and it went into his heart, and he died of a heart attack.
Holy shit. That escalated very quickly. I thought we were just going to talk shit. We're talking about a dead guy.
Yeah, he's dead. Imagine that funeral, man. Everyone knows.
He wanted a bigger cock.
Like, would you rather die? I mean, I guess you're dead, so your embarrassment you're not the one that's embarrassed. It's everyone there commemorating you. But it's like, would you rather die having people talk about how you're trying to get your dick enhanced, or like just mid shit on the toilet?
Yeah, I mean that's pretty ridiculous. Like, I guess, like, you know, if you're injecting fat into it, wouldn't it just make it more like just add like girth? It wouldn't make it like really like that much bigger, like from a long sense.
I'm no penis scientist.
Oh, come on,
so
Danny.
I can't argue.
Come on, Danny. We know you've seen a couple.
I mean, dude, I've been to the zoo. Doesn't mean I'm a fucking better vet or a zoologist, okay? I've petted a lot of dogs. Doesn't mean I'm like an expert in the canines.
That's too funny. I don't even know where we could go with this.
All right. Well,
it's
I'm
pretty
sure,
funny
sure
though.
You know,
I mean, it's funny, but at the same time, it's pretty sad though as well. Like,
it is pretty sad. But he was a billionaire diamond trader. I mean, it sounds like a plot of a cheesy movie.
They didn't ask if we should. They only asked if we can.
Right, and maybe like going to with your theory of it's not going to add length, just girth. Maybe he wanted it to be hung like a tuna can. One inch long, 3 inches around.
Bount, bount, bount. Man.
So we haven't had an update on the M&Ms, Sean. I mean, not M&Ms, Oreos, right?
No, it's been
a
little while.
I buried the lead.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you ruined it. No,
I ruined it.
You know, Oreos decided to fuck up my life and, you know, do their own thing, so it is what it is.
They can die. They can all burn in hell.
In a fiery pit of hell.
So, I was walking around the grocery store, and I saw a couple flavors of M&Ms I'd never seen. And it wasn't until I got home that I realized they were having a contest, because there was three flavors, and the third flavor, which I don't remember, did not look enticing at all.
It was so bad, but you forgot about it.
And I didn't even buy it. Well, I didn't buy it, and this was like last week, over the weekend. But I bought two of the three flavors, and apparently they're having a contest to where you can vote.
Gotcha.
And so I bought toffee and Mexican jalapeno.
Wasn't it coffee in like the another contest too?
No, not coffee with a C, toffee with a T.
Oh, gotcha.
Toffee.
See, I just heard what I wanted to hear.
That's okay, because when I first bought it, I thought it said coffee.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
I read coffee because I had already had coffee M&Ms. And that's why I didn't realize it was a contest. I'm like, ooh, coffee M&Ms. I'm going to buy one. Ooh, and this one looks interesting. So the toffee, it doesn't taste like toffee. It just tastes sweet.
Mm.
Right?
That's so fun.
And not in a good way. It tastes like, no. And the M&M's, you know, I gave one to my wife and the jalapeno, and she's like, she didn't think it was spicy, but if she ate up more, it probably would be. But I really didn't notice much of a spice at all. Like, it was kind of like the guy that came up with those flavors is probably also the guy that does the flavors for La Croix.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, a hint of a hint of a hint of a jalapeno. Or I saw a new one. It's like somebody ate a fruit salad and burped into your bottle of water.
So what was, I guess, out of the two, which one did you prefer?
I mean, if I had to pick, gun to head, I guess.
If somebody said you're going to buy these goddamn M&Ms with a gun to your head, you got to buy one and eat it and enjoy it. Which one are you buying?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the enjoy it part, but I would buy the jalapeno.
Interesting.
Like I said, the toffee didn't taste like toffee.
That's pretty disappointing. It's sad to hear that the toffee was bad, the jalapeno was bad, and that the other flavor just didn't sound enticing enough. Like, this seems like a terrible... Whoever ran this contest failed.
Yes, I want to abstain. Like, because if I want, like, toffee, I'll just go get, like, a score bar. Because that's better. It actually tastes like toffee. It's not, like, an approximation of what toffee might taste like. Like, if you described what toffee tastes like to someone who's never eaten toffee before,
mm-hmm.
and then they made that flavor for M&M's, that's what mm-hmm. it tasted like.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Oh, man. So, apparently, in England, the company Aldi
mm-hmm.
has decided to figure out a way to get kids to come to the dinner table to stop playing video games, Sean.
Mm-hmm. How do they do that?
They did a program. They're calling it Tea Time Takeover.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the parents can sign up, give their kids gamer tag to the service or whatever, and then it will be given to better people, Twitch streamers or so. I don't even know who's going to get the information. But then they're going to go and play PUBG or Fortnite or whatever the kid's playing and just demolish them mm-hmm. in hopes that the kids will get frustrated and quit playing and come down and have dinner.
Oh, boy. That seems ridiculous. So what if you just, like, they keep hitting you up and you just ban them? Like, you block them.
Yeah, you blacklist them, or the guy's, like, really a pedophile, or... why don't you just go, I don't know, talk to your kids, and maybe even, like, you know, the fastest way to get a kid to stop doing something is show interest in it. So maybe sit down and say that you want to play their Fortnite with them.
Just unplug the internet, the power to the internet cable box.
Well, I mean, there's that too, but then you have to suffer.
Not if you're trying to eat dinner.
Valid point. Yeah, exactly. Just shut down the internet for dinner time. I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Set rules. Like, between this time and this time, you can't be on any electronics. And if your kids have a problem with it and won't deal with it, then that's your problem as a parent, not Aldi's.
Choke slam them through a table. That'll show them what's up.
Right. Or what if the kid finds out that they're, like, being, you know, pawned by, like, a major, you know, Twitch streamer.
Danny, I got it. Playing. What they could do is then go tell that other company that says and tell them that they're being bullied, and then those Twitch streamers will just go at it, and it'll be a vicious circle.
Yes, exactly. Somebody's like, brought them up. It's like, you know, bad video game publicity, and then Aldi's like, hold my beer. I guess it's clever marketing, and I kind of hope, it's more tongue-in-cheek and not actual a program that they want to run because, you know, the British and their zany sense of humor.
That is true. good times.
But then, on better gaming news, Nintendo has a mobile game called Dragalia Lost.
Okay, never heard of it.
I see ads for it and stuff. It's supposed to be like an RPG type phone game. Mm-hmm. But the company that made it for Nintendo came out and basically said that the way Nintendo has it set up, they actually have higher drop numbers for the loot mm-hmm. than the company normally makes for other customers.
Gotcha.
Like, they're basically saying that Nintendo is setting up to where they're not going to make nearly as much money as other companies make off of their mobile game because of their friendly drop rates. So you mm-hmm. don't have to go and pay as much money, as much real money.
Gotcha.
So, good guy Nintendo again, right?
Yep, exactly. Doing what they can.
Speaking of good guys, Sean, it's finally your time to shine.
Danny, I want everybody to know that he's been spending, 3 weeks just in the zone trying to prepare for this moment. This is how much homework I've been doing. 3 weeks worth of homework. And hopefully,
to
Danny,
get the AutoZone.
I'm just saying, man. I think it was I think that's why you had to carry the show the last 3 weeks, because I was doing all this important research. No,
I'm sure that's an excuse for somebody, but not for me, no, Sean.
Not gonna fly, huh?
Not gonna fly. Nope.
Oh damn. Oh well. Well, at least A for effort, right?
No, Sean. You get the E for effort.
That's good to know. So, if you have not been playing Destiny at all, Season 6 is now upon us in the Destiny universe. Season of the Drifter launched 3 weeks ago with the new season. We've seen all sorts of new changes come about and new things going on. I will say, this season hasn't had too many crazy surprises yet, Danny. We got to see a new Gambit mode. So if you haven't played Gambit, it is a 4v4 competitive. So basically, we have four players playing against four other players, but it's not like a Crucible setting where you're fighting against each other directly. You have to kill enemies, grab motes and bank them in your own little worlds, and then what you could do is at every set of markers you can bank. When after you bank a certain amount of motes, you could go invade, which is you go to the other realm where the other team is, and then you could kill them and make their life hell. So we now have Gambit and Gambit Prime. So with Gambit Prime, one of the big differences is, Danny, is that it's a 1 round to 100 motes to summon the Prime Evil. So that was that's one big change from the previous Gambit style that's going on. We also see that once you get to, you get 3 invasions in between there, so 25, 50, 75. And once you get the Prime Evil out, that you have to kill the envoys, just like in Gambit. But what happens is you kill the 3 envoys, and then on the last envoy, there's like a pool that you stand in to get a buff, and that buff goes up. So you have like 30 seconds, and then you do, and then the boss gets shielded again, and then you go kill another 3. And you get to do twice the amount of damage, and it goes up all the way to 5 times the amount of damage, which is pretty different from the regular Gambit, where after you kill the 2 envoy, it'll just consistently go up to 10 after every 30 seconds. So with Gambit Prime, Danny, since you have a lot of deep thought about this, since you've never played it before.
Exactly. I'm like, I can share my thoughts, but it'll be just like, wow, that sounds cool.
Pretty much.
If you say so, Sean.
If I say so. There is unique armor that you could get from Gambit Prime. So they've made these different roles for Gambit Prime, and if you wear the armor, you get buffs to help you. So you have a collector who's in charge of grabbing motes, Reaper, who is in charge of just killing a lot of enemies, Sentry, who's in charge of keeping the bank open from the other team and for looking for invaders, and then, of course, the Invader. So right now, since they've launched Gambit Prime, they definitely seem... they haven't said anything on changes they want to do, but it definitely seems like there is a little bit of hate coming on to the Invader, because the Invader is just seems to be very overpowered with the double shield that they have on. So that'll be interesting to see how, you know, Bungie kind of responds. Sentry, who's in charge of trying to eliminate the Invader, is almost kind of useless in a sense, where a lot of people don't feel like their abilities, like, does enough to warrant using the armor. And then Collector and Reaper seem to be, I think, probably at a good time. I think they don't really have anything wrong. I think what they could do, though, is the... For the Collector, his, like, special power, if you're max rank, you drop an oversized Taken Felix onto the other side. But he's a little bit squishy for being worth 20 motes. It's almost worth only doing 15 motes. So that would be something interesting for Bungie to kind of comment on what they want to do.
Right, so, you know, basically... You get some communication, whether even if they're just blowing smoke up your ass, like the developers of Anthem.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's the one thing that they haven't really talked about, and I think they've been trying. I think they want to see the playtesting as people level, because really, last week was the first time that you could acquire all the armor and acquire the aura to do these things, so I think there'll be some interesting comments coming out in the next couple weeks on This Week at Bungie. The cool thing, though, Danny, is that the armors have certain color, so it's very easy to tell what your teammate is doing. So all the armor has, like, a snake around it, and that snake is a certain color. So white is Collector, Reaper is green, Invader is... red, and Sentry is yellow. So the idea was, is you could look at your teammates to see what they're running, so that way you're better prepared to, if you want to change, you could change what you're running, so that way it's a little bit easier. So that part was kind of cool, though. The armor does look pretty cool. I do like how the, when you have the full aura, like, the snake, like, glows. So it's pretty cool, like, you know, running around with this armor on.
That's, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's always fun when you you look badass. Again, that's why I wanted to play Anthem, because it looked badass. I wish it would be fun.
Is that a word? More fun? Funner? Yeah.
Funner. I was going to say fun. I was just going to leave it at fun, but then I realized, no, it actually is fun. It just needs to be fun. And then I was kind of stuck.
I want to increase the levels of enjoyment and entertainment while I'm playing this game.
Right. I mean, I want it to be funner. I want it to be the funnerest game I've ever played.
Oh, man. So, one of the new game modes that came out with the new season is called Reckoning. So we finally figure out what the hell is the giant round sphere on Drifter's ship, because you get to jump into it and go into another realm, and you get to deal with the Nine, which is very interesting. If you don't know really what goes on with Destiny, the Nine is like this kind of secret mythic, like, group that kind of watches things. But somehow, like, one of their agents is, like, delivers very powerful gear, and they are very in the know about things, so it's kind of interesting to see, like, what's going on, what's the relationship between the Nine and Drifter. But anyways,
so they're basically like the Watchers in Marvel, where the one guy is they're just supposed to look and observe and not get involved, but that one Watcher for Earth always gets involved.
Yeah, pretty much.
He breaks the rules.
He always breaks the rules. Yeah, so it's interesting because there's not a lot of info about the Nine and who they are. there's a new character called the Emissary of the Nine, and she's not part of the Nine. She speaks for, like, the Nine, so we still don't know who the Nine is overall. Like, what they are, what they're doing, what their daddy does, all that different stuff.
Who their daddy does?
Exactly.
Who is their daddy?
Who is their daddy? What does he do? But Reckoning is basically a four-man PvE event where you have certain time limits to complete actions. So you, in the first area, you just have to kill a bunch of enemies rapidly before the time expires. In the second part, in Tier 2 and Tier 3, you have to cross like a bridge and capture 6 points in the certain amount of time. And then on Tier 2 and 3, you have to fight a giant boss at the end of the bridge. So it's been pretty interesting. Feedback on Reckoning has been a little mixed. I think they do have modifiers, Danny, and I think this is where the modifiers play in a part of the fun for Reckoning. So, like, in one instance, like, one of the boss is, like, two knights that go around with giant swords and, like, smash into you. Well, if you are playing Blackout, which basically says that enemies that do melee damage is significantly increased, when they hit you, they're one-shotting you. So it makes it, like, really hard to kill these bosses versus, like, other things where it's, like, your life is half health or other things. So that's also kind of played into it a little bit. But Reckoning has been pretty fun, and that's how you get your special armor for Gambit Prime, is through Reckoning.
So, okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting that you got to play a certain mode to get armor for another game mode.
That is interesting. It's, well, I guess, like, in normal MMOs, like, they have the raid level gear where you have to go through and do lower level raids to get the high level gear so that you can go and actually beat the high level raid.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Real quick, I was listening to a podcast, and they're kind of talking about Fallout 76 and some of the problems with that. And one of the issues also, I guess, could apply to Destiny, in that there's no player economy. Like, you can't sell or trade weapons or gear to each other in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Do you think that would be something that you would want them to add to the game?
I mean, it would be interesting, like, because I can't get some of... There's, like, two exotics that drop at the very end of the last two raids that I just can't get my hands on. I mean, I don't know what I would pay. I don't know, like, what I would pay for it, but, I mean, I think if... I mean, it makes sense, though. Like, if you have... I guess the other problem, though, too, is, Danny, is Destiny allows you to reacquire your exotic weapons and armor, so basically you couldn't do that because somebody could just pump it out, like, could just sell, like
a dupe it, but legally?
Yeah, basically. So that would...
Like in Final Fantasy XIV... they have certain items that are either unsellable or untradeable. So I guess, you know, maybe for some of the non-exotic weapons you could sell or trade. So if you have, because, like, you know, I guess, I don't know if friend, but definitely clan member was saying about how some of the blue weapons have some pretty good stats.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you get, like, a pretty awesome, you know, blue weapon, then maybe you can give it to some, trade it to somebody that is lower level gear. Like, there might be the level number wise, but they don't have the light level, and you can give it to them so that you can kind of get them, help them move along into the raiding process, something like that, as opposed to raid level gear, the top level exotics.
Mm-hmm. No, it would be.
I guess I understand.
Yeah, it would be interesting, but I think it would change the economy overall for Destiny if they were to do that. I think there would be implementations that I don't know if people are willing to accept.
Right, because if they did make it where you could trade the exotics, then they'd have to make it where you couldn't basically reobtain it magically.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. So going back with Destiny, there's only three more things I want to talk about. So Thorn is back. So Thorn was a hand cannon in Destiny 1 that people like. It does lingering damage, like poison damage, so it might not hit the hardest, but it does have damage that you get dealt over time. So there was a bounty that happened, and which was pretty tough. But I was able to finish it last night. I haven't really messed around with Thorn as far as like playing it. Zer bounties. So this one's a little interesting. I think nobody really knew what it was or what to expect. But basically, Zer is selling a invitation from the Nine every week, and there's 9 lore drops that you could get from this. So every week you do it, you get closer and closer to those 9. And what we're seeing is we're starting to get some lore as far as who the 9 are, why, and kind of why they're talking to the why they're talking to Drifter. So this past Friday, and when this podcast gets released, it'll be the third edition. So a lot more to come on that. And then one of the big things that Destiny has tried that, you know, we'll see how it goes down the road is that there was a choice. So on one spectrum, you got to choose if you're going to side with the Vanguard and or you are going to side with the Drifter. And they had special bounties on each side to complete. And really, the only big thing I've noticed so far is a little bit of the dialogue from Drifter has changed as far as either you, if you betray him or not. And every reset, you get like a bundle. And when you open up that bundle, you get certain items depending on who you sided with. So it was kind of like a big deal, well, but I don't think it hasn't made any like significant change to the game.
Well, I saw that if you picked the Vanguard and pick against the Drifter, when you go on the Drifter ship, it's rigged with the red laser bombs.
Mm-hmm.
The corridor. So, like, you can't, like, if you walk, you have to explode them before you can walk down the corridor, because it's basically the whole corridor is booby-trapped.
I'll have to jump on my Warlock and kind of take a look around the ship. I haven't heard anything about anything being, like, booby-trapped.
Right. Like, I saw a picture of it on the Reddit, so it must be true. 100%.
Maybe.
But it looked pretty cool, like, you know, when you're doing the raids or whatever, and they have the, I don't even know what they're called, but the tripwires.
Yeah.
But it just looked like the whole corridor had them, like, every couple feet. So it was like,
gotcha.
If you were in the middle, you were definitely going to die if you didn't explode them as you went through. Like, if you're trying to Mission Impossible it through and duck and dodge them, but you hit one,
mm-hmm.
you would probably die if you were far enough in.
Gotcha.
And by probably, I mean definitely.
No. I'll have to jump on and take a look. But overall, though, if you didn't really care for Gambit, this season is not probably going to be very fun for you. And you'll just have to kind of power through for the next 2.5 months until the next season starts. But overall, I'm really liking it.
I've always been more of a rogue guy. I'm not a really big fan of Gambit.
Yeah. I figured as much.
The X-Men are better.
I see what you did there, you bastard.
I am, aren't I? But so basically you have a couple months to do everything in the new season.
Yep, basically the next season will be out in sometime in early summertime. I know we will have a new raid, and that we will have the new Moments of Triumph. But that's about it. There's a couple other things going to happen this season in April, and we'll probably touch base on it depending on how significant it is.
Well, I mean, it's Destiny, so it's probably not very significant.
Wow. That sounds like a dick move there, sir.
Well, it's not the worst dick move we've talked about this time in the show.
No, it hasn't been.
Or the biggest dick move? I don't know. One of those two statements is correct.
It's definitely bigger.
It is now.
Oh man. So I saw you playing a new game, Danny. I was kind of surprised. Far Cry 5. How is it? Cuz I'm definitely that's kind of been on my radar as far as games I've been wanting to play.
Right, like I kind of just jumped on it, figuring I'll kind of run around for a little bit until Anthem gets fixed. But there's so many mechanics in this game that I've never seen in other games before that's really interesting. Like, you know, basically the story of the game is that there's a cult that's kind of taken over this small Montana town. You start off...
Is that inappropriate?
So you start off, you go into a rust... No, it's not the most inappropriate thing we've talked about on the show. Rest in pepperoni. But, so you start off and you're going in, you're like a rookie marshal, federal marshal going into, arrest the leader, and shit goes, you know, foobar, and yep. Everybody gets captured except for you. There's like a four-man team counting you.
Mm-hmm.
Or woman, depending on, you can pick if you're a man or a woman, even though it's a first-person view.
Yeah.
The one thing that I hate about the game is that it's Ubisoft, and you can't play an Ubisoft game without having an Ubisoft account.
That's irritating.
You know, don't worry, we promise we'll do our best. Maybe we'll think about protecting your personal information, but you can't do it unless you can't play the game unless you give us all your personal information.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
Just make sure your Ubisoft password and your bank password aren't the same.
Fair enough.
But getting into the game, man, like, there's just so many missions. Like, you go around and you see, like, the cult members just on the side of the road holding somebody, and you kill the cult member and you set the person free, and you have a chance to have them join you. And if you don't, and you can have, for a while, you can have one person follow you around until you can, like, level up through the perks. Now you can have two people with you. And as they get more kills, the basic generic ones, mm-hmm. there's a level 5-level kill perk they unlock and a 12-level perk they unlock.
Okay.
And then there's, like, a handful of ultimate-level sidekicks, basically. So as you're going through, you level up your reputation in the town, or at least in the area. The map is broken up into three zones.
Okay.
And so as you're going through, like, in the first one, as you level up your reputation, the cult sends more things after you. Like, after you get, there's three steps, and after the first phase, they send armored convoys out looking for you.
Oh, jeez.
And then when you unlock the second one, they send out air support. So there's, like, airplanes that are just flying around, and they'll come across you as you're running around the map. Or you can even respawn, like, under one. And you gotta get out of there. There's four different types of missions.
Uh-huh.
And I learned the hard way, I guess. If you freed enough people, they'll just go and do some of this. They'll go do the side missions for you.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
I was doing something, and I got a call, and it's like, yeah, you know, we saw you were busy, and we wanted to help out, so we went and cleaned the cult out of this area for you.
Fuck yeah.
So, like, the first one, the guy is basically, the first one you go after, he's basically the guy that's training them to be soldiers.
Okay.
And then I just made it into this part with the second of the lieutenants. And it's this girl, she goes by the name of Faith. And basically she's making this drug called Bliss, where you like hallucinate. And you know, at one point you go in there and I did my first mission and she was just standing in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of trippy, the cutscenes. The story is pretty good. It's kind of jarring though sometimes. Like there's a couple points where I was doing something and then it just pulled you into a cutscene in a way. Like I had Frida Stronghold and then the planes came over and I'm like, oh great, the planes see me, but I can take them. I got a 50 caliber. Mm-hmm. And I just started shooting at them, but it was doing nothing. And then all of a sudden, like, they weren't killing me, but they drugged me and they kidnapped me. They captured me.
Oh boy.
And so I had to like free myself from there. So it's just like, it's a lot of free play with intermittent story. When you get to certain points, mm-hmm. it kind of forces you to do the story.
Gotcha.
But like right now, one of the guys that I have as my companion, he's a pilot. And so it's kind of fun. You can like set markers and he'll just drop a bomb and blow up a truck or whatever's bothering you.
That's pretty nice.
There's a ton of weapons in the game. It's like I said, it's super open world. You'll be running around and you'll see somebody with a quest marker over their head. And you go talk to them. Mm-hmm. And then you just unlock a quest, unlock more quests. Because it's Montana, so there's a lot of the disaster preppers. So there's prepper stashes lying around where you can go get gear, ammo, perk points to level up the things without having to actually do the challenges.
Okay.
They have outfits hidden in there, bonus outfits, even though you don't really see your character, I guess, except maybe like on wanted posters.
You're the sheriff, you're like the marshal, and there's wanted posters of you.
Right. Well, it's from the cult, though, so it's not official.
That's fair.
But there is a multiplayer. I haven't played it yet. I just more focused on the game itself. So I guess maybe that's where the outfits come into play. But one of the perks, I guess, of doing the Ubisoft Club is you get one of the outfits is an Assassin's Creed outfit, which, you know, I thought was cool until I was running around in the middle of like this swampy type area and I realized that I didn't have any shoes on.
Jeez.
Because it's, you know, it went full authentic Assassin's Creed, so it was like the outfit but no shoes, so I was like, all right, this is kind of weird. I'm gonna go put some boots on because this seems gross. I feel weirded out.
That's funny.
And I know just recently it was on sale at Best Buy for like $25 for the game, and then they have a add-on kind of like how because there's the season pass where you get three add-ons, and then there's an expansion, I guess, like Destiny.
Yeah.
Where you get like this, the...
I was going to say, didn't one of them just come out?
I was going to say, that's what came out. And it was when Far Cry was on sale for $25, that was on sale for $20.
Gotcha.
I don't know if I'm going to... How much I'm, like... I'm invested in the game, but I don't know by how much. Because I also thought I was going to want to play all the Wolfenstein, the new Colossus DLC, but then new games were there. I heard the expansion is good if you liked Far Cry 5, but then people were expecting it to be something different, which I don't know how much different they're expecting it to be, but obviously different enough that they didn't like it.
Interesting. Somebody kind of told me what was going on. I mean, I could, if you want to talk about it after you finish, we can, or I could spoil it for you.
Oh, in the game?
Yes, the difference between... No spoilers this time.
Oh, I mean, unless it's like you're going to tell me story, but if it's just gameplay mechanics, that's not spoilers.
No, it's not gameplay. It's it'd be spoilers. Story spoilers.
Oh, okay.
We could just wait until you get caught up. Until you finish it.
Yeah, I'll get caught up. I don't want to spoil it for other people if I'm going to tell them to go buy it and play it, because it's definitely a fun game if you just want to run around. There's a co-op options you can play, so you don't have to play solo by yourself if you don't want.
Okay, nice.
But yeah, so I want to finish this game, and I don't even know how many hours I am, just because, like I said, there's just so much shit to do in the game that it's borderline overwhelming. Like I said, you'll be running around, it's like, oh, this person has a quest. Oh, this person has a quest.
God damn it. Can't you just go take this bag of corn somewhere by yourself? Why do I have to do it?
Right.
But I'm going to give you this fancy gun.
In addition to having
all right.
Yeah. in addition to the cult, like, just holding, like, people, like, on the side of the road, there's, like, trucks driving around, and there's one truck where, like, you kill the driver, and you go open it up, and it's supplies for the people that are fighting against the cult, and you get experience. And then there's some trucks that have, like, these you have to blow up. So in the one, it's fuel, and the second one, it's the drugs. So if you blow it up, you get cult, you get resistance experience. And then the other, third one is, and I found this out after a while, was it's vans just driving around, and there's, like, one or two hostages in the back that are being taken to the cult to be brainwashed or whatever.
Gotcha.
And so you unlock, like I said, you know, I unlocked a bunch of those, and then all of a sudden now, I'm going, as I got close to freeing up the first zone, I'd be running around the road, like driving down the road, and there's just gunfights going off. Like, there are, like, legit little skirmishes between the cult and the resistant fighters that you have freed, just randomly going on through the game, too. So there's,
nice.
Because the cult would have roadblocks set up, and you'll be driving, and the roadblock's blown up, and the cult members are being killed.
Hmm.
So, it's the game changes how you play. It's one of the smartest games I've played as far as that. Except when I did kill the first boss.
Yeah.
Like, he was flying around in his plane. He, like, went to escape, and then he was going to go to a bunker. And I pushed the wrong button on the plane, and I accidentally hit eject instead of speed up.
Okay.
And so, and I'm like, crap, I got to get back. He's going to get away. But then he landed his plane to go to the bunker, right?
Yeah.
And he landed, like, almost as far away from the bunker as he could land. And then he just happened to, like, run by me. I just happened to look over. And I'm like, oh, shit, there he is. And I, like, shot him twice. And he was dead. And I'm like, oh, well, that was kind of anticlimactic. So I know that was a little bit of a spoiler, and I said no spoilers. But, man, that's pretty much the only thing I've been disappointed about the game was that one little part.
That's kind of funny.
I was expecting more of an actual fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got lost.
And it wasn't even like a certain...
That's why you don't use Apple Maps.
Exactly. you go by the shortest distance, not the fastest distance or whatever. Or maybe he had the avoid highways option on.
Maybe.
But I didn't even, like, it wasn't even like I had, like, my rifle or anything. It was like my handgun. Like, I was like shocked that he was coming by, and I just shot him twice, and it was like, you've killed him. And I'm like, oh, I thought he would have put up a fight. Okay, I guess I get to move on in the story now.
Do-do-do-do! Level up!
Right, it's like if, you know, in a raid, like, you just keep wiping and wiping and wiping, and then you get to the final boss, and it's just like a two-shot kill, and you're like, oh. Like, you'd be happy that you beat the raid, and that the path to getting to the final boss was challenging, but then it's like a letdown.
Yeah.
It's like finding out that hot chick you picked up at the bar has a bigger dick than you.
Oh. Well.
It's never unless a good you're time. Into that. Then it's not a disappointment.
I know who was not into that.
apparently their penis enhancement was successful.
They don't have to worry about being the smallest dick in the bar no more.
Exactly. Yeah, but definitely, if you're looking for something to... If you've finished all of your Destiny season items and looking for something to kill time between seasons, Far Cry 5 is a definite checkout.
Okay. Sounds good. Appreciate the review.
The recommendation.
The recommendation. Bow. All right, everybody. That's it for today's show. Thank you for hanging out with another fun-filled episode, even if Danny doesn't want to hear me talk about Destiny, the dickhead.
Oh, I thought you were going to say talk about having fun. I just didn't want you to lie to our people.
They did have fun. They enjoyed it. Make sure
they liked it. They didn't like it. They loved it.
Make sure that you are subscribed to all our fun places on Instagram, Facebook, and Podbean, Google Play, iTunes. Make sure you're rating us 5 stars on all those episodes. That way everybody could come listen to the fun that we're having on this show.
So I learned something interesting, Sean.
What'd you
learn? I don't know if it was just a coincidence or your new laptop is amazing, but all of our episodes from episode one until now are available on Apple Podcast or iTunes, as opposed to like the last month's worth.
I don't know what happened. Maybe they thought we were for real, and so they let all the episodes get uploaded.
Exactly. So you can go back and listen to our interviews with EJ De La Peña.
Mm-hmm.
And other people too.
Exactly. Yes. All right, everybody. You have a good one, and we'll see you next week.
Next week, everybody.